Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, guiding you to a career in financial services. This episode originally aired on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Make sure you join me each week as I share with you information on how to become a financial professional and the things you should be considering as you navigate down this career path. Without further ado, here's this week's episode. What's up, everybody? Today, we're going to do something I've been wanting to do for a long time. Your requests have not gone unheard. Many of you have DM'd me about how to become a CFP, and today, I'm going to walk you through a deep dive on just how to do that. Get the pen and paper out. The best way, I think, to do this is just to kind of walk you through what the CFP's website, CFP Board's website looks like. And there's a ton of information on there. I'm not going to try to go through all of it. I just want to take you through the four E's because those are going to be the most important. It's going to be the education, the experience, the exam, and the ethics. Some of this stuff we'll get to flesh out a little bit more today. Other stuff we'll have to leave for another podcast because it gets just so involved. But I want to walk you through, give you kind of the breadcrumbs of what it looks like. So let's just pop on their website and let's start with education. So as you're going to see on here, the education requirement, if you go to that Become a CFP Professional, go to this drop down here and they're going to show you the education requirements. So I think the first thing you need to know is you got to get that degree. You got to get that bachelor's degree. And it helps if you go through a school that has the coursework that's registered with the CFP board program. There's several schools on here and you can just kind of scroll down and they'll show you the different schools. Eventually, yeah, you can find a CFP board registered program right there. So if you haven't entered into the field yet or you're thinking about changing, you may want to look at some of the schools that already are registered with the CFP program. That way, you'll be doing the coursework that helps fulfill the education requirement. The other thing you need to know is that there is a continuing education. So after you become a CFP, you're going to have to do 30 hours of continuing education that's composed of different things, whether it be ethics or investments or financial planning. All those continuing education hours add up every 2 years for that 30-hour requirement. Okay, that experience requirement. Now, I see people get hung up on this a lot because what can happen is you can have the education, you can pass the exam because you're eligible to sit for it, and then you're waiting to accumulate the experience, which has to be either 6,000 hours or 4,000 hours. Let's break that down. And as you can see on this part of the deal, they have a nice little infographic. Let's just walk through that a little bit. So you have to be doing activities of a comprehensive planner. There's really six of those, right? So there's the establishing and defining the client relationship. So when you meet a person, do they qualify for financial planning, right? So all the different things that happen after that. The second thing is to gather their client info, right? So between meeting them and gathering their client info, what you're doing is essentially defining the scope of the arrangement. And their expectations, as you will note when you start studying for this stuff, the client's expectations really kind of dictate the relationship on whether or not financial advice is being rendered. If the client is expecting you to take them from journey, you know, on this journey from point A to point B, that's going to involve their retirement, their investments, all these different elements of financial planning, then you are indeed giving financial advice. And that expectation gives you the fiduciary obligation to put their interests first. Next, you have to evaluate that data, right, to see what needs to be done. Then you got to develop some recommendations so that they can know what, you know, you're supposed to do for them. Then you implement those recommendations and then you monitor them over time. So those are the six elements that define the scope, really, of a financial planning relationship. Hey, Dominique here, and I hope you are really enjoying this week's episode. Look, if you're a current or aspiring financial professional and you'd like to join a community of like-minded individuals that I'm sharing my 20 plus years of experience with, make sure you visit my website at www.djh-capital.com for more information. Now back to this week's episode. Now, let's talk about these pathways to experience. So you got the 6,000 hours, which basically means you're going to probably be doing this from, you know, about 3 years. You know, if you just kind of say a normal work year is going to be 2,000 hours, this basically is telling you you need 3 years of experience. So let's say that you are hired as, you know, right out of school at Merrill Lynch or something like that, or anywhere, and you're doing financial planning for clients, you're answering phones, you're doing like things like that. So you would have to do that for 3 years or 6,000 hours in order to meet the experience requirement. Now, let's say you start in college with a CFP registered program and you're doing internships, maybe your junior or your senior year, then you only need 4,000 hours. Like you're doing that with somebody that is a CFP or a financial professional and they're supervising you. So the board has different pathways, as you can see right here. As long as you are including those six primary elements that I just went over in the process, either being supervised or in a job setting, then you can fulfill those experience requirements. All right, the granddaddy of them all, the exam. Now, this is probably the one that sticks most people in that you have to pass a exam. You have three windows to take the exam during the year, and it is a two-part exam. So it's 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon with a 40-minute break, and you have to pass, I think it's 170 questions at this point. The rate of passing is something around 60% or 65%, something like that. Two-thirds of people pass it on the first round. So you want to really definitely get into a program that's going to prepare you for it. Self-studying for the exam, I don't recommend. But let's talk about that in a whole nother podcast about how to prepare for it. The elements that I think you need to really hone down on is after you finish your coursework, the stuff that's going to actually prepare you for the exam, going through the fundamentals, going through the tax, going through the estate planning, going through the investments. And then you got to do a capstone course, which means that you're going to present an actual financial plan and it's going to be approved by the CFP board. That means your education is totally done and you've learned everything that you know in order to take the exam. Then you need to start studying. Now, if I'm looking at myself, what I did is I partnered up with a program to help me study, which was called Dalton Education, and I paid for a review course. And after I finished all the education requirements, I then start studying for the review course in about August or so, and then took my exam 3 months later in November, which I recommend. You typically need probably about a good 90 days hard studying, 15 to 20 hours a week, just going at it so you can be really prepared for the exam. Last but not least, we have the ethics. So this is the part that probably gets overlooked a whole lot, but it's really three components, right? It's the code of ethics, it's the rules of conduct, and it is the practice standards. The practice standards we've already gone over. It's those six elements that define the scope of a client relationship and the financial planning arrangement. And so with the code of ethics, you're going to have, actually, that's going to be part of your exam. There's going to be a whole section talking about the code of ethics. In that section is also going to test you on the rules of conduct and the practice standards. So as you can see, what you're going to basically do is you're going to adhere to the CFP board's code of ethics. How often they ever change them, that could be an element. For instance, when I took my exam 3 years ago, they've since changed and rearranged the code of ethics. So as a CFP certificate, I am always beholden to that code of ethics, no matter how often it changes. And I am also telling them as a certificate that I am basically adhering to those standards. And if I violate them, then they're allowed to discipline me. So that's what adhering to that particular standard or that bar, if you will, that bar that's been raised, you're adhering to that as a CFP professional. All right, there you have it. Those are the four E's, the education, the experience, the exam, and the ethics. I know you probably have plenty of questions, which is totally okay. Leave them down in the comments. I'll be happy to answer them. If you want more information about being a CFP professional or even just being a financial professional, getting into this career, learning what it takes, you've got to hit me up. I'll be happy to answer your questions. Talk to you later. Bye-bye for now. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what?
I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it, and it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.